I love the whole experience of winding up towards Christmas, thinking about the holidays, thinking about the time that we're going to spend with family. But you know, what often happens is that, and as you know, Grace Life closes down for a couple of weeks. What often happens as we prepare to go away on holiday and we go away is that we often go away on holiday from our relationship with the Lord. That's the truth. And so we start feeling a little like there's something missing. I don't know if it's just me, but I'm sure that there's other people here that feel that as well. And the truth is that as we sung in that song, that God is working all the time in our lives, all the time. He doesn't go away on holiday. On Sunday last week, we had an amazing time here. You know, if you want to end 2025 off well, you've got to start it well. We moved all the chairs away and we had such an amazing time in our prayer meeting. It was clear that people were hungry because the room was fairly full. So I want to say thank you so much for coming and joining for that. But as a church, we want to end 2025 off by prioritizing prayer. So that's why we want to start it off like that. And I want to say as well that I don't think there's a person, in fact, is there anybody in this room that wants a worse 2025 than 2024? I'm going to scan the room from left to right and right to left. Anybody want a worse 2025? Of course not. Anybody in the world, do you think, that would put their hand up, give me a worse 2025? Of course not. Because part of our DNA, what God has placed inside of us, is a desire to grow, expand, and improve and get better. But we've got to build into what I would call our future selves. So I want to leave, I'm not going to leave this with you because I'm not finished, but I want to put this out there, that your future self knows more about you than you know about yourself. Now, place that anywhere in your philosophical sphere. Place it anywhere, okay? So that's why we want to build into our future selves. We want to position ourselves correctly, and we want to get better. So as Ryan said earlier, we are in a four-part series. It's not just randomly that this series has started now, but it's the beginning of the year. The series is called Better. So what are we expecting from this series? What do we hope to get out of it? Well, that very much depends on what you do with what you hear. So if we don't do anything with what we hear over the next 4 weeks, the chances are nothing's going to change. So there's four areas that we're going to look at. Area one, as Ryan shared, which I'm going to be sharing on today, is we want to better prioritize. Area two, what we want to be better in doing, is we want to have better relationships. Anybody want worse relationships? Of course, no one. Doesn't make sense. We want to make better choices. And of course, we want to be, hopefully, better witnesses. Better witnesses to what God is trying to do through us. That's what we want to do. So week one, better priorities. I'm going to read a piece of scripture to us now. So I've read this piece of scripture before, but I see it in a different light when I think about priorities. This is what Paul says in Philippians. He says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best. And I really believe and I really feel that what Paul is saying there is that we learn to prioritize better. And since there are so many things that we can prioritize, think about all of the things that the decisions and the things that are important to you. I mean, literally in a day, there's scores of them. In a month, there's probably hundreds. In a year, there might be thousands of things that we could prioritize. It can be a little bit confusing sometimes. So you have to forgive me, okay? Because being a kids ministry teacher for many years, I used to love doing visual presentations for the kids, because if we see something in front of us, then sometimes it kind of sinks in better. So just pretend you're a class of kids ministry kids, okay? And we're going to do a little kind of experiment now that's going to help to, you know, understand the priorities better. And I've asked one of our kids ministry kids to help out here, and a young lady, Nelly, that's matured through our kids ministry. So you've probably seen this before. And I'm going to explain as they're putting these things together here. Okay, wait, whoa, you're jumping the gun, yeah, guys. Come on now. Okay, you're nervous. Okay, tell me your best scripture. Recite it for me. Joking. Come on, then I'll get rid of the nerves. Right, so what we have here is we have some empty containers. Okay, so these empty containers represent us, who we are. Okay, we've got a whole lot of small stones. The small stones represent priorities, but smaller priorities. And then we have some big stones. The big stones represent the big priorities. So you'll see that there's much less bigger stones than there are smaller ones. Now, because this is full, okay, we really can't fit too many big stones in here, can we? Because it's full. So what I want you to do now is I want you to hold that, and I want you to pour the smaller stones in there, okay? Slowly so they don't spill. Okay, give it a shake. Yeah, carry on. Carry on. I've only got half an hour, so please. Okay, carry on. Wonderful. More. Okay, shake it around. There we are. Come on, more. Okay, more. Okay, all right. That's enough. Okay, so now there's quite a few in there. But now we're going to see that even though they're going to stick out the top, we can still put the bigger priorities in. And thank you so much. The representation of this, friends. And again, this is from my kids' ministry, okay? But the representation of this is that if we prioritize the small things, we cannot fit the bigger, more important priorities into our lives. That's why we've got to discern very well what is a small priority and what's a big priority. And again, the question that I have for you is this. With so many small priorities and so many big ones, how do we discern which is which? So what I've done, it's another practical thing, is I've put a little diagram together, okay? And it's four tiers. I'd love just to put that picture up there, and you'll understand when it goes up what's actually happening here. So the top tier, tier one, I've called the absolutely essential, okay? The things that have to be there in order that the boat can float, okay? But there should only be a few of them, maybe three or four or five. I've used some examples. This diagram here, you can apply to a day, you can apply to a week, you can apply to your entire life. So I've looked at it from a more macro sense. Tier one, absolutely essential, my faith, my family, my health. Without those things, you got some serious problems. Tier two, I've called the very important and valuable, but not the essential. And there's a reason that I've chosen career ambition, because sometimes our career ambitions can be prioritized above our families and even above God. And so we want to be careful with that. We can spend our lives toiling away and realize that we missed the time of our kids growing up. Tier three, I've called, what does it say? Good but not important, and sometimes a distraction. Social media. Who's on their phone right now? Come on, put your hand up. Be truthful. Come on, who's on their phone now? So social media can be a distraction. It's a nice to have, but it's not a priority. And my number four, I've called external influences. So that could be other people's opinions. It could be, in fact, if I think about this week, I had something very important to do, and that's prepare a preach. So I had to say no to some external influences. So not go and have too many coffees, because it's going to take away from the priority of this week, which is preparing this preach. So I hope that helps, and I hope it's a little bit of a practical thing that we can all use. You see, we don't change the world in tier two and three. We change the world in our world in tier one and two. You see, the truth is that as we think about priorities in our lives, if we don't get this right, then the chances are 2025 is not going to be better than 2024. So priorities and thinking about which ones are important, what does Jesus say? He says this, that we are not of this world just as he is not of this world. So if he was not of this world, and it says, so I have to believe that we as believers are not of this world, then our priorities cannot reflect the same priorities as the world's priorities. One thing I can categorically say is that if we take these three priorities that we're going to work through now, and we are laser focused on making sure that we stick to them, our 2025 is going to be a great year. I really, really, truly believe that. Who set some New Year's resolutions here? Come on. Who set them? Come on, let me know. Anybody want to tell us what they are? Anybody? So I know there's some people that don't like New Year's resolutions and don't set them. And I think one of the reasons for that really is because there's an awful lot of pain that we experience after a couple of months when we cannot remember, never mind having achieved what the New Year's resolution is. It's very hard. And I think one of the reasons that we're not successful with those things is because we are not prioritizing it highly enough. It just slips back. The world throws things at us and it slips back in our priority list. So the three points that I have this morning, which are our priority points, the first one is to seek God first. Seek God first. When I think about us as human beings, I think about one of the things that we spend a lot of our time doing is worry. Isn't that right? Worrying and falling into fear, often over things that don't materialize into anything. I think 99% of the things that we fear actually never materialize in a way. I think sometimes that God sits on his throne and he goes, my son, my daughter, and he shakes his head. He goes, have you not read my word? Do you not know what I say about that? What are you worrying for? Because in Matthew, he says this. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. You see, when we prioritize the things that God has for us as a priority, the worries of this life fall into a proper perspective. And practically, how does that look for us? Well, if we think about our marriages, and I think about mine, personally, I see how much Pam has grown in her ability to forgive me for the things that she thinks I sometimes do wrong, okay? It's amazing because she's finally realized that when I do one or two small things wrong, it's actually there to help her grow in her forgiveness. And so I want to say, well done, Pam. Really, you've grown. I think about two examples of things that I did wrong. Many years ago before we were serving or really even in a relationship with Jesus, and they both revolved around going away on holiday. And, you know, going away on a holiday is exciting, there's so many things to do. And we were living in the UK at that time, and we were flying to Europe, I think, if I don't know where. But I remember we were sitting, very nice relationship, great. And she nudges me, she goes, where's the traveler's checks? Oops. And I cast my mind back to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. And I thought, I'm going to be bleeding and dying in a minute because they're at home, I think, on the sofa. And so that holiday, we didn't have the best of times because we didn't have very much money to spend, but we had some money when we got back. So there you go. That was. And the other time involved a holiday too. And just before we left the house, Pam said, just make sure everything's off. So I thought, okay, yeah, okay. So she wants me to go and check everything's off. Well, I'm gonna sneak something quick here. I'm just gonna turn off the main switch. That'll switch everything off. So I did, and I was quite happy about that until I came home and realized that what actually had gone off was everything inside the fridge after 3 weeks. And it was full of meat and all kinds of things. If you're a vegetarian, sorry, there were vegetarian sausages. And anyway, everything had gone off. So I think about that. And I think about forgiveness and how we need to forgive our spouses. And when we seek God first, when we put him first in our relationships, the truth is that we have grace for each other. Are there any single people here this morning?
Yes.
Ooh, there we are. Okay, there's a resounding yes. Can I ask you, if you're a single person, would you be brave enough just to raise your hand? Wonderful. Now, I want the single people just to look around, okay? If your eyes meet, okay, and you feel your heart beating really fast, maybe you want to hang around being redeemed afterwards because the Lord's trying to do something with you, okay? All right, so did you see them? Were they here? If you're a single person and you one day meet the one and you take the one home, no, sorry, you don't take the one home, I apologize. that was BC days, okay? That's what you would have done BC. Sorry. You go home without the one, okay? And you go home to your mom and dad, you go, I've met the one. I've met the one. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank goodness. Maybe it's not your mum, could be your brother, sister, whatever. I want to tell you, please never go home and say, I've met the one. Rather go home and say, I've met the two. I've met the two. And the reason I say that is because God is our number one. God is our number one. And he always should be. If you make God the number one, that relationship will work. Never put anything above the authority of the relationship that we find ourselves in with the Lord. If we think about our children, and we think about when they leave home, we would never want to say, I wish they'd spent less time in church praising and worshiping. We'd say we want them because there's a peace that comes upon us, even if they drift away and they're far from the Lord, that there's seeds that have been planted inside of them. And so there's a peace that comes through that. So God is the number one and always should be. Here's a reflection question for us, friends. Are we seeking God first, or are our energies consumed by lesser priorities? Think about the small stones and the big stones. My point two is this. Priority two, love the Lord your God with all you have. And the only way that we can really do that in 2025 is to seek him more, to prioritize intimate time with him. That's really the only way that we can do it. There's a moment in Scripture where the Pharisees and the Sadducees try to trick Jesus by asking him a question. And we're going to read that now. What is the question that they're asked? Matthew 20, 22, 34 to 40. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, don't you love that? Jesus had silenced the Sadducees. Whatever he'd said before that, they couldn't say anything back. They just knew that he was right. So he silenced them. The Pharisees got together like a brood of vipers conspiring against him. One of them, an expert in the law, I guess in today's terms, it would be something like a lawyer, expert in the law, tested him with this question, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? And Jesus, of course, was never silenced. He always had an answer. He says this, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the laws and the prophets hang on these two commandments. See, what he was saying to them is if you cannot love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and you cannot love your neighbor you might as well scrap the other ones. And of course, we understand we're not under the law anymore because Jesus came and he died and we're under grace now. But if we cannot love God and our neighbors, it's going to be difficult for us to represent the heart of God in 2025. I remember, and I've shared this before, but I'm going to share it again because it's an example I can use of... So we know the saying, walls make good neighbors, yeah? I think that most of us, in fact, probably sometimes know people that live a few streets down better than we know the person that lives next door. And that's quite sad, because who's the person that you're going to call out to in the middle of the night if there's a problem? It's going to be the person that's closest to you. So we want to take those walls down. I want to encourage you this year, if you don't know your neighbors, take the wall, not physically take it down, because they're going to be angry with you. Okay, your dogs are going to fight or whatever. But just take the wall down. Try and get into relationship with them. Maybe God's trying to do something across your fence. So I came home from work one day, and as I drove up to my gates, my kids were in the car. And like I said, I've shared this before, so just bear with me if you've heard it. But there was a sign, a three-piece of paper, I think, that had been put on the gate. It had been taped to the gate, and there was some writing on that A3 piece of paper. As I drove up to it, I could clearly see what was actually written on it. So my alarm had been going off for a while. And intermittently, maybe an hour or two, I'd missed the calls from the armed response company. And my neighbor had got very angry. And he'd written on there, "Turn your effing alarm off." And he'd put his name there and his cell phone number. So he wasn't shy to tell me who he was. So, which is fine. I'll tell you my first response to that. I felt this. I felt, I'm just going to slowly engage into reverse out of my driveway, down the road to where he lives. I'm going to drive into his driveway and I'm going to drive through his gates, which will be closed, and tell him never, ever do that again. That is how I felt in those few split seconds. I'm so thankful that I didn't do that, because I may not be here today. That's the truth, because he's a parabat. Okay, so we know what parabats are. Okay, they jump out of aeroplanes and they fight people. Okay, so I'm glad I didn't do that. So I phoned him. I said, "Hi." I said, "It's Andrew from number 5. I said, "I first of all want to apologize to you. I'm so sorry you've got a B&B, and that must have been incredibly irritating, but I'm really sorry. And I want to ask you, please, this is my number. Take my number. If you've ever got a problem again, please just call me, WhatsApp me, and we can sort it out. But I said, please never, ever leave a note like that on my gate again. Never, please." And that was the end of the conversation. And so it was closed off. The loop, as far as I was concerned, was closed. So neighbors sometimes are very difficult. That's why he says we've got to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. So hopefully we love ourselves, of course, first of all. Here's a question. How do we know when somebody really loves something? How do we know? Because often they talk about them a lot, or they talk about it a lot. Have you ever had a friend who's gone home, or who's been a good friend, and you have a lot in common, you talk about all kinds of things, and suddenly conversation narrows down to one thing? If you're a guy, it's the girl, okay? And how beautiful her toes are. Her nails are immaculately cut. Her hair is long blonde locks. And it goes on and on and on. And that's great. That's great. If it's a sports team, if you love football, maybe you speak about your football team. But we know when somebody loves something because they speak about it a lot. Do we love God? Are we speaking about him a lot? Are we boasting about our wives and our families? I remember, in fact, I don't know, I'm sure there were people here, Dion, I know you guys did, but you went to Botanic Gardens and they had that light show, the Christmas lights. It was beautiful, eh? Anybody went? Yeah, it was great. In fact, the municipality, in my eyes, was redeemed. They did such a beautiful job. Shows that Durban can host these amazing things. And it was really, really beautiful. And so we were there and we sat down at a table and we shared a table with a man and a woman that were dressed exactly the same. They were both wearing Liverpool shirts. And so we got chatting. And it was very clear early in the conversation that they were using words like blessed. And always keep an ear open for those words. They're great words to channel conversation. They were using words like blessed. And we ended up talking for a long time about church. And they were from Maritzburg. And they knew their church at Dawn and Craig had been to the weekend before and the pastors. And so the whole conversation was about the church. And the whole conversation was about their football team. Okay, I know which one I preferred. It was the church conversation. Because Liverpool, okay, to me, I don't have a preference. But what they were trying to say is their team, Liverpool, was so amazing and so blessed because it had the strapline, you'll never walk alone. And you'll never walk alone when you got God. And they married the two together and went on and on and on. So the reason I'm saying that is just because what we love is what we talk about. We need to love God in 2025 with all our hearts. We need to realize that God has been prioritizing us. He's our Father. He's prioritized us our entire lives. What good father would not prioritize the important things for their children? My son just passed his license. It didn't just happen. There was a priority that had to be put on that, on our side. We had to book things and pay for things. But there was a great reward there in knowing that your kids have moved forward. I want to say, and this might ruffle a few feathers, but your children are not your main assignment. They're a temporary assignment. If you make your children your main assignment, one day when they're gone, hopefully if you're still sharing a bed, you're going to roll over and you're going to blink because you don't know the person lying next to you. Make nothing else a priority other than God. Everything else is a temporary assignment. My third point and my final point is this. What time do we have to end? How long have I got? An hour? Okay, great, great. Okay, I've got another 8 points here to read. Okay, priority 3, focus on the eternal rather than the temporary. Focusing on the eternal rather than the temporary. How do we know if we're focusing on the eternal or the temporary? Because that's where we're investing our time, our treasure, and our talents. To spend our time serving others is to focus, or to spend our time serving others, bringing them into relationship with Jesus, is to serve in the eternal, is to build into the eternal, in the contrary. If your main priority is building up massive wealth, that's going to be a problem. Why? Because wealth and material possessions are a temporary thing. If you think about this, on your deathbed, and on mine, because I am going to die, I've realized that now as I've got older. On your deathbed, who do you call for? Do you call somebody to bring in the trailer with all your possessions? Let me put my hand on my possessions one last time. Of course not. Who do we call for? We want our family around us. Hey, bring me his word. I'm going to go and see my dad now. I want to make sure that I've got a firm grip on his word, because those things are the important. Those things are the eternal. The temporary is the other stuff. There's something that happens inside of us as believers and realize that investment of time, treasure, and talents in the kingdom is a costly thing. Sorry, It's a costly thing. But there's a reward for us eternally, but also here. Okay, the feeling and the satisfaction of knowing that you've invited somebody into relationship with Jesus and seeing them breaking out of things like addictions, seeing them growing a relationship with Jesus. There's a beautiful infilling that we get as believers, and I believe that's an eternal reward as well. So I want to say this. I want to say that Jesus didn't come necessarily to make our lives better, okay? Because think about it. Some people had their heads chopped off. Like, clearly their life didn't get much better when their head was chopped off, did it? Hey? So he didn't do that. He didn't come necessarily to make our lives better. He came so that people would move from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And as I said earlier with that word for that person, that we can be no more righteous as believers than we are today. We can't be any more righteous. We are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. Everything that Jesus did is enough. So we've got to look into the eternal rather than the temporary. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18, he says, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." You see, it's very easy to focus our attention on what we see, what our senses tell us. But the kingdom of God works differently. It's the unseen realm. It works through faith. Serving others, sharing the gospel, and investing in relationships have an eternal signature. Make 2025 the year where we do this, friends. It's going to be a good year for us if we prioritize these things. There's an illustration that I want to read as we come down to land. In fact, I would love to ask us just to stand this morning as we prepare to close this message off. Over the cathedral doors in Milan, you can go have a look at this. I had a look. It's a beautiful cathedral. Over each door, there's an inscription. Over the first door, it says, "All that which pleases is just for a moment." Over the second door, it says this, "All that which troubles us is but for a moment." And over the central door, it says this, "That only is important which is eternal." You see, that central scripture or that central message is what we need to focus on in 2025. If we want to open our eyes and see what God has in store, some of it may be difficult. There may be some challenges, but I can promise you this, it's going to be worthwhile. As we embark on the new year, what in our lives do we need to reprioritize? What are the smaller stones that we've been treating as big stones that we need to move up the tiers? What is the absolute essential? Let's work those things out, friends. Are we in agreement this morning? I would love to ask us as we close, just to close our eyes. If you have some priority issues in your life this morning, if there's some things that you feel that you've been neglecting that should be a higher priority, maybe it's a relationship renewal. Maybe it's children. I don't know. You know. God can change all of that. But we've got to step forward in faith. I'd love to give you the opportunity this morning to just pop up your hand, if that's you this morning. You want an adjustment of priorities. Father, we thank you this morning that not only have you called us to have a better 2025, but you've called us to prioritize you above everything else, seeking the kingdom first. I thank you, Father, that as these hands have been raised by and through faith, Father, that this will not just be like another New Year's resolution which falls away after a period of time, but we will be laser focused on seeking you out, Father. We thank you, Father, that no prayer goes unheard, but it's in your time, Father. We want to say thank you, Lord, for every person that's made a decision this morning to come and join this meeting, because there's some things that you needed to speak to them about. We want to say, Father, thank you for the blessing of your Son, Jesus Christ, who goes before us in every step that we take. We want to say, bless you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for the eternal nature of our lives. Thank you, Lord, for the influence that we have in our families, in our friends, in our workplace. Help this to be the year, 2025, the year to be alive. Amen.